The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners, so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you may not appear to be fasting except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." The Gospel of the Lord. It's so good for us to be here. It's so good for us to begin this holy season of Lent with our Ash Wednesday celebration here, the Liturgy of the Word and the distribution of the ashes. And what great gospel passage, what great readings we have in front of us to help us start our Lenten journey on the right foot. What do we see in the gospel passage? Jesus is being very direct in what he's saying. You know, sometimes we get away with Jesus beating around the bush a little bit and speaking in symbols and the like. And when he gets very direct and clear with us, we've got nowhere to hide. So we got to take it on. We got to take on the challenge that Jesus is issuing to us, and in order to live well this Lenten season that is his gift to us. What do we see? Jesus here is in the passages talking about how prayer and fasting and almsgiving go awry. And we're tempted to think that when Jesus, say, addresses the people with those words, talking about the pitfalls of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, that it might be better not to try. Or maybe because Jesus is doing something so radically new in himself that we can do away with the old ways, as it were, the old penitential practices, as it were. But my friends, not so. Not so at all. When Jesus says, you know, this is how you fall short and fail as it relates to prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, he also tells us how to do it well and how to do it right. And what's the point of what he's saying here but that we have to get our priorities straight and we have to get our motivations right? What do we have to do in our lives? We have to prioritize the things of God. How many of us woke up this morning and the first question... Okay, you woke up. That's good. That's a start. I love that. I love that. So ready. So eager. I'm eager for this season as well. So we woke up this morning and we asked ourselves, what can I do to advance the kingdom of God today? Well, who had that as the first question on their mind today? Good. I trust you, Sammy. He's got it. I believe him. I believe him. I mean, some of us, you know, we may have, right? But this is it. What are our priorities? What did we wake up with a hankering for? Any kind of meat, probably, right? Because you can't have it today. So you think, well, start dreaming about bacon. I'm not going to put that image in your mind, though. So I won't say anything, right? Yeah, what are our priorities? Can I say, well, let me say it the easy way. In the world... The priorities of the world are comfort and pleasure. And so we wake up thinking about, what is the next thing I can do that will satisfy me? How do I take care of my needs? Then what am I looking forward to that's going to give me pleasure today? Right? These are some of the things that pop into our minds as soon as we wake up. Not so for us, my friends. Not so. We were made not for comfort. We were made for greatness. We were made to live fully flourishing human lives. Lives that focus on God, to have our hearts and lives totally focused on Him, and freed from the vain pursuits that the world offers us as our satisfaction, to live lives of greatness. And how do we do it? How do we do it? But through the traditional Lenten practices. How do we have our hearts and lives focused on God and Him, making Him our priority without these great practices that Lent offers us today? Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Well, what is it about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving? Well, why would we fast? It's such a strange thing to do. Is it not? What does it mean to fast? It means to deny ourselves some legitimate pleasures or comforts that the world has to offer us. I mean, today it means something quite specific for all those who are of fasting age, is that we have one main meal, probably a little smaller than we're used to. And then we have only possible two smaller meals that add up to that other meal. I mean, that's pretty, you know, those are some rules for you, right? But what is fasting? It's to deny ourselves. Because all too often our lives focus or are focused on not God, but ourselves. We prioritize ourselves and not God. So we fast, we deny ourselves, and just the act of denying ourselves gives us some sense that we were made for more. More than what we can eat, more than the next meal, more than the next comfort. And as we start asking ourselves those questions, well, what am I made for? What is life about if it's not to satisfy me? Then we find space in our hearts and probably more time, attention, and energy for the life of prayer. If the end of life is not in me, then it has to exist somewhere else. And we're inclined, I think, just even naturally, to say if true satisfaction is not available in me, then I ought to look to God to find it. And so we look out with prayer. We give ourselves over to God in prayer. We find, in fact, that as we pray, as we make time for prayer, God fills us with His love. He pours out His love into our hearts and into our lives in such manner that we are filled in ways that we could never be filled with comforts and pleasures and food and the like. And then as God becomes more and more the center of our life and our life's priority and purpose, we come to love what He loves. Because His life is at work in us. And loving what He loves, we come to be good stewards of everything that He's entrusted to our care. But most especially the people. Because He calls us to embody His own life, and His own life is love. So we become more and more accustomed to living His life of love for the people around us. And that's what we celebrate today, I think, in Lent. And that's what we need, I think, for the launching pad to Lenten success, is the idea that this season is about nothing other than love. Nothing other than love. Right, so when I in the paper tomorrow see pictures of all of the Lenten practices and services and all the rest, what kind of faces do you think I should see? Miserable, sullen faces, gaunt faces with the, you know, wearing the sacrifice of a meal given up and all the dread and drear of another Lenten day? I don't think so. What I should see is happy faces. Happy faces. Now, look, I'm not talking about the fact that many of us are in a season of mourning, where we've lost people we're very close to. We're struggling with the nature of our times. But here, we get to go beyond our own concerns and live into the blessing of God. By fasting, prayer, and almsgiving, we find ourselves liberated from ourselves and our own self-concern. To be given over to God and to live the joy of His own life here and now. Can we make Lent a joyful season? I hope so. Anyway, it's one of my favorite rules of Lenten penances, right? We have to take on penance. There's no way to do this. There's no way to grow in love of God and neighbor without throwing ourselves into the traditional practices of the Lenten season. Right? We have to do it. We have to throw ourselves into it. But we cannot allow our Lenten practices to make us a penance for others. That's not the point. And it's not the point to spread misery in the world. Right? No, we're spreading God's love and His joy and His peace. But first, because it's come into our hearts, it's encountered us here and now, and we've given ourselves over to God's plan and His priorities. And so, my friends, we begin this Lenten season with blessing. We begin this Lenten season with recollection of our own mortality. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. But we remember the great blessing of God, that even though we are dust, and to dust we shall return, He has breathed His own life into us so that we could live lives of eternal purpose here and now and join Him in celebration, the joys of His kingdom made present to us in love and joy and peace and all the many blessings of His presence throughout this Lenten season.